Hello, everybody. I'm Yusuf. I'm here with Narian. We are from the Azure team, specifically from the Azure networking team. We will be giving you a presentation on Azure networking, specifically an overview of our SDN stack, software-defined networking stack, and how this makes it easy for you to develop your applications and set up the network very easily through templates and so forth. Narian will show us a demo.
Yeah.
And I'm going to, at the end, show you two new set of features we have been doing, new announcements, based on your feedback from the last few months. Okay? So let me start. As you know, Azure is a very rich platform. You probably have seen the slide before. I will not go through every box, of course, except if you look at the yellow highlighted box, that's where networking is. That's where our software-defined networking really is. So the focus of this talk is basically within this box. Azure has been experiencing hypergrowth. Frankly, guys, this is an older slide that shows you some of the numbers and storage and networking, network support for this thing in a second. It's coming up, of course, directory and so forth. This hypergrowth is causing us, to be honest, to make sure that our network can handle this growth and can handle resource allocation dynamically for this growth. So that, of course, results into hyperscale for the network itself. When we say the network, we're referring to everything from the host adapter, the NIC, if you will, all the way to the wide area network and peering with service providers, which really gives you the ability to for your applications and your customers to reach us and your applications in running in Azure. So you can look at the numbers here. We peer with many, many service providers at more than 85 exchange points around the internet. We have many, many miles of fiber within our data centers. Our fiber in North America alone can wrap the earth four times over. And we've been investing billions in this. Why am I showing you this slide? For your cloud services to really be reachable to your customers quickly, reliably, you need this big hyperscale investment in the network, and we have that. Now, it's great to have the network, but you also have to have the actual data centers for it. So this is a current picture of the huge infrastructure of Azure around the globe. The blue boxes are basically our Azure production regions, and the green ones are announced and yet to be operational data centers and regions. This whole global network is connecting all these regions, and you can see some of the numbers here. This is really large scale. And as you know, in Azure, you decide. You decide where your applications run. You decide where data actually resides. And what we're going to show you for the rest of this talk is how to utilize this network to place your applications in those regions and to connect them together as well. Key to this is understanding what are the ways you can put your applications and how you can reach them. The basic fundamental building blocks is something called the virtual network. It's an abstraction, runs in one of those regions in the previous slide. It enables you to effectively bring your own network. What you could do on premises with physical wires and VLANs and ACLs and all sorts of concepts from classical networking, you can now apply virtually in Azure, basically. And you can do things like segmentation with subnets and ACLs and so forth. It's very powerful. The punchline is you can basically bring your own network and make it match your application needs. Once you have your app in the virtual network, you can then reach it from the internet. And the way you reach it from the internet, through the large number of exchange providers we have and peering we have with ISPs and so forth. And then you have mechanisms to control how your users access your application. From the way your IP addresses are advertised, the ACLs on them, we have DNS services, we have load balancing services and so forth. In addition to your users accessing your applications from the open internet, we also have options for back-end connectivity, where, for example, you can have VPN services still over the internet accessing your services, or you can have back-end connectivity from your on-premises, your own private network, connecting to our private WAN, if you will, without going over the internet. This is called ExpressRoute. I'll tell you more about it in a second. So in summary, you get to decide how your virtual networks look like in Azure. You decide the location and how they're subnetted, segmented, and so forth. You have a lot of mechanisms to control how your customers reach you with acceleration services, protection, security, ACLs, and so forth, and load balancing. And optionally, you also have a way to connect to us through multiple means in the backend connectivity for very secure connectivity methods. So this is the big picture, guys. Now, this is all nice and dandy, but if you guys, if you, you or us have to do it by hand for every customer, for every VM instantiation, that would be, of course, prohibitive. So what we have been doing throughout multiple years now is investing in software-defined networking. What this means is what one typically would do on-premises in classical networks by buying machines and configuring them and putting the ports together and assigning ACLs and the like, now we do them virtually through software. What would take days and months to configure, you can literally do in seconds to minutes on Azure. And Marianne will show you in practice how this really works. This is a big deal. Also, what would be manually configured and very error-prone now is done through APIs and templates. You tell us what you want, and we do it for you. And all the complex hardware and the lack of automation is now become very scalable and malleable to your application needs. If you make a mistake, it's a matter of hitting a button, changing the template a bit, and the topology changes. If your business needs change, you need more network capacity or less. You need a different topology, different subnets, what have you. It's a matter of saying, I want it to be different. And within minutes, it's different. Lastly, classical networks, frankly, it's very fixed topologies. You decide my app looks like this. I have so many switches, wires, and you're sort of stuck. With us, you want more or less, as I mentioned, it's very dynamic. Okay. The punchline really is that we have very agile and dynamic assignment of networking resources to your application. And you are in control. You do it through APIs and templates, which you'll see in a second, through our portal or PowerShell, multiple ways you can do that. And importantly, you do it. You can do it by starting from existing templates. So you don't have to be a full networking expert to use Azure Networking. So we have a big an increasing library of templates. They're on GitHub. You can just go get them up and just start with those. Each template defines some topology for the network. You can find one that matches what you need. You can modify it. You start with a template, which is basically about, you see in a second, it's a JSON description. And it has most everything in there, how the virtual network looks like, how many subnets, how many ACLs, and you can customize it. Customize it to your needs. When you're ready, you say deploy. And the active deployment is basically instantiating the virtual resources that match your topology, the topology you describe in the template. In this simple example, is a virtual network has three subnets, front end, in a sense, fronting your application to the internet, a middle tier, and a back end database. There are security groups and ACLs, internal load balancing, etc. All this richness is actually just a template description that we instantiate in production. Now, I've been telling you about the global network and how easy it is to actually configure and so forth. Let us show you really in practice how this works. So, Narayan, it would be great if you can show the audience how this really, really works.
Yeah, thanks, Yusuf. Yeah, I'm happy to show that. So, just to recap what Yusuf said, today I'm going to show you a single ARM template that contains all the necessary elements for a multi-tiered service, starting with the virtual network and then subdividing them into subnets. So typically, you start with the virtual network. This is where you describe your address space. Then you segregate that further into different subnets to host your front end and your application and your databases. And you want to secure them before you do anything. You want to be sure, like, you know, who can talk to who. You don't want to expose your backend subnet to the internet, for example. So you secure them using network security groups. Then you kind of create a DMZ zone. Typically, this is what you will do on your front-end subnet. You allow that to open to the internet. And then you still describe some rules on what it can talk to in the backend. So then you deploy your backend servers that really is serving your content. And then you again set up rules such that only the front-end services can actually talk to your backend services. And finally, the most secure piece is usually your databases. So you don't want this to be exposed to internet either inbound or outbound. And you also typically want high availability for these. But these are internally accessible services, but you still want high availability. So you use concepts like, you know, load balancers with a private IP address so that you still get the high availability, but still not exposed to internet. So this is typically what a multi-tier service would look like. And I'm going to show you today a single template that actually describes all of these. And it will be available for you to actually take it and deploy it to Azure and then see what that produces. So without further ado, I'm going to actually switch screens here and I'm going to show you a template that I want to describe a few things with. So here is a template. Again, this will be available to you later, but I just want to highlight a few sections over here, how you describe these network resources. So I want to start with the virtual network, of course. So as you see here, you start with the virtual network. You say, this resource is of type virtual networks. You give it a name. And if you haven't looked at this before, there's a depends on is a very useful utility in the templating world, because what's happening here is you describe all the resources and give it to Azure to say, go create them. And Azure will try to optimize creating them in parallel, right? But for some resources, you can create them if the dependent resource is already not there. So then you describe such rules saying depends on. So in this case, I'm trying to say, when I'm creating my virtual network, I also want to describe the security boundaries. So I'm waiting on the creation of network security groups also. And I'll show you how I've defined security groups. But here, all I'm doing is I'm having a VNet. I have an address prefix for the VNet. I divide them into subnets. And each of the subnet has a name and, again, an address prefix. And there are some properties. So in this property of the subnet, I'm saying I'm attaching a security group to the subnet, right? And the security group description is coming, afterwards. So I have three subnets over here, a front-end subnet, and then an app subnet, and a back-end subnet. And I'm attaching security groups to it. That's all. That's it. It's probably 30, 40 lines of JSON that describes your virtual network. Very basic one. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can customize this. A basic one. Then let's look at the security groups. Then as you get into the security groups, so you say, again, here's my resource security group, and you name it. And then you start describing the rules that it's allowed. So this is a security group for the front end. So I'm actually opening up like a remote desktop, like RDP to the internet. I'm opening up a web rule. I'm saying port 80 over here, direction is inbound. I want to allow the traffic from internet. So this is typically, you're going to put this security group on your front end. So you want to allow internet to talk to you. So you describe that over there. You also want to say that this subnet should be able to talk to the application tier, because as it gets the request, it's going to forward it to the application tier. So I describe a rule. There's an outbound rule from the subnet that says you can talk to the application subnet, right? And then I don't want this. This is a DMZ, right? So this is exposed to internet. I don't want this subnet to be talking to the rest of my network. So I can very precisely say deny access to anything in my virtual network, right? So this guy really can't talk to anything else that you have in your virtual network. It can get traffic from the internet and it can only talk to the application tier because you have allowed it using a rule specifically, and the rest of the stuff is denied. So similarly, I go on and describe my other security groups over here, which is, what would I do on the application? Application allows the front end to talk to it. And also, I have the my backend security group. This one is my backend security group. And this one, you can clearly see, I want to block internal traffic. I only want to allow my application servers to talk to it. I'm blocking the rest of it. I'm saying internal network is blocked. And not just that, I'm also blocking internet completely. So deny internet. So this guy really can't talk to the internet or get traffic from internet. It's completely secure right now. So that's how you describe your security group rules. And the other thing that we showed in the build slide was there is a application gateway. It's a layer 7, which is actually, it can do load balancing based on cookie-based affinity, and it can also do SSL termination. You want to place that on your front end. That is your front end layer. So you can describe the application gateway also in the same template. So you say, okay, here is, I'm creating a resource of application gateway, type application gateway. Again, we have some options for what SKU you want. You can select a SKU. And you can also kind of determine like how many instances of the application gateway that you want to run. So you describe those. And then you start describing your rules over there. So you want to describe a front-end IP. This is going to be a public IP address because you want to get traffic from the internet. So that's a public IP address. And then you also want to describe your ports. I'm opening up port 80. And then now you're describing your backend addresses. So as you get traffic on port 80, where do you want to send them to? I want to send them to my application servers. And here is the key piece. So here you can describe what sort of load balancing that you want to do. As you see here, I'm saying it's a HTTP-based load balancer with cookie-based affinity enabled. So this is a layer 7 concept over here, which says, okay, based on cookie, forward it to the appropriate application server. So this is newer in our platform, the application gateway is. And now this can be described completely through the ARM templates. So it becomes part of your network. It becomes easy to define that. This is one other thing I want to cover is also, you know, the load balancing. I talked about your backend servers can still have high availability, but doesn't have to get exposed to the internet. And you do that through Microsoft's layer 4 load balancer that we provide. And here, again, similar to the app gateway, you describe your front-end IP configuration and your back-end IP configuration. But the difference is this. So on the front-end IP, you're saying it comes from a particular subnet, from a back-end subnet. It's not a public IP address. Rather, it's a private IP address. So you know that it's a private IP address. It's a static IP address. And that's what you give to the load balancer. And like the previous one, you describe the back-end pools for this. And you describe the ports on where it is open and all that. So, yeah. And you also have, like, you describe your network interfaces and your virtual machines and all that. You can look at this because this will be available to you. I just want to highlight a few things. I'm going to take 2 minutes to show you what will happen if you take this and do a deploy, right? So I've done a deployment. I just took the template I showed you, and I clicked the button that Yusuf told you, deploy to Azure, and here's the result. So it creates a security resource group for you. And under the resource group, you see all the resources being created. So if you see that, so I'll do a more over here so that you get a list of all resources. So as you can see, it starts with the VNet. There is a virtual network called Multi-Tier VNet. And then you see that you have all your virtual machines that is created here, the multi-tier application machines, application servers, 2 of them, 3 of the database servers, and ILB for your backend database. And then you have all your network interface cards. You have security groups here, like your applications, a network security group, your backend one, the front end one. You also have the public IP address that you define. And this is the public IP of your gateway, the application gateway. So your service will now be available in this IP address. So everything that I showed you, it gets deployed under one resource group. And I know it's idempotent. You can run this as many times as you want. And if you don't want to this, you can just do a delete on the resource group. Everything goes away. So it's easy to create and delete. It all happens within minutes. So you don't have to go describe each of them separately and deploy. Everything happens in one shot, and they can come.
And if you change your mind, you can change the template and redeploy.
Exactly. And you can also do additional stuff. Where if you just want to change only one thing, you want to retain the rest of the stuff, you just go change the one thing and deploy.
Yes.
It will not redeploy the existing ones. It will find out the difference and only make that change.
Very nice.
So it's idempotent, and it's very easy to, you know, get started with. Like you said, this is a great base, a reference point. They can start with this, and they can customize according to their needs. Okay, now going back to the deck, just one point before we... Okay, so here is the URL for this particular template that I showed you. You can find that on this URL, and you can go download it. And then there's also instructions on how you can deploy them, either using PowerShell or using other means, CLI. And we have a list of a lot of templates like these already in the inventory that you guys can use. All right, cool.
Wonderful.
So, giving it back to Yusuf.
Thanks, Ranarian.
Thank you.
It's the power of the model is very impressive,
yes,
to be honest.
Yes.
You find a template and you have the network with you.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Sure, thank you.
So we showed you how we can define the network and then get it deployed. Now we're going to be telling you about some new announcements that augment everything we discussed here. We have been investing quite a bit in log analytics for network, and we have major updates for ExpressRoute as well. So I'll briefly mention both of these. Many of you have told us that they love the power of the platform, but they need more control over what's happening in the platform in terms of seeing what it does. So we are happy to announce that we're going to have a set of analytics tools and logging from all the networking data plane and control plane events, if you will. So you'll be able to get also logs from the control plane, who did what, when which configuration changed, and so forth, and from the data plane, also of counters to show you when all these rules that Narayan showed you for example, network security groups, the deny rules and allow rules, and so forth. So we have now an infrastructure where we emit all these logs. They are stored in storage, and they're archived. And we have multiple mechanisms for you to look at this data and analyze it. And I'll show you very briefly two such mechanisms. You can import the data into Power BI and have very powerful dashboards to show you how your system is actually behaving, who did what to it, and so forth. Another mechanism you can use to visualize and analyze your data is going to be Microsoft OMS. So with OMS, you can do also sophisticated analysis, automatic ingestion of the events. You can then look at the actual data in there, and you can, as I mentioned, visualize in some ways and look at the historical changes as well. This is great from a security perspective, for auditing purposes, and for managing your system in general. Now, there's a whole talk in Azure and Conf on this area, so I would strongly suggest you look at it. Some of these features are coming up in the coming months, but I want to show you a sneak preview that with all the power we give you to configure the systems, we're now going to give you the power to also visualize and analyze what it's doing for you. The other area of announcements we're making are around ExpressRoute. Briefly, as a reminder, ExpressRoute is a way to connect your private network to the Microsoft WAN and your resources in Azure bypassing the internet. And what you gain are predictable performance, because you are not going through the internet. You get security. The path is between your provider and us directly. You get high throughput with a big spectrum of bandwidth options for you, and lower costs as you use more and more of the network. So ExpressRoute has been in the market for a while. What we are announcing are a set of substantial enhancements to ExpressRoute, specifically access to 365, including Sky for Business, will be generally available through ExpressRoute. ExpressRoute started as a connection mechanism to Azure first. Now we're expanding it to the wide spectrum of Microsoft services, and 365 is now available through a number of launch partners. You can see the list there. And we're going to basically be working with the rest of Express partners to provide access to 365 as well. In addition, we now have ExpressRoute for Azure GovCloud. As you may know, we also have a version of Azure geared toward the federal, state, and local government applications, if you will. And we also have a way for you, for those customers, to reach the Azure GovCloud through ExpressRoute as well. Secure, separate network meeting all the government needs. In addition, the Azure Resource Management System now is also now applicable to ExpressRoute. All the templates that Narayan showed you, RBAC, et cetera, are now usable as a tool to actually configure ExpressRoute as well. You told us that we had complex billing options and bandwidth options or what have you, so we simplified them considerably. We now have a simple model, either a limited data or metered data, and we rationalize all the offers from 50 megabits per second up to 10 gigabit per second. Again, if you were using ExpressRoute before, please look at these options. It makes it much simpler. And of course, we've increased our partner ecosystem. Since day one, we've been signing up more and more partners to basically meet you, the customer, where you are. If you already have a telecom provider or a network provider and you want to use them, chances are you're going to find them as part of our partner ecosystem. So we're announcing today a new set of partners. You can see the names on the list here. And that's in addition to our existing ecosystem. So the ecosystem of ExpressRoute has been expanding, and it will expand more. Great. Well, that's it, actually, for our talk today. I'm happy to present today with Narayan what we have been doing in networking. There are many other resources available to you. And as we mentioned, both topics we described today, and analytics, ExpressRoute, some of the details, there are more talks in Azure Conf.
Yeah.
We encourage you to look at them, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you.